I really think about trust as energy. You know, trust has energetics. Really understanding the energetics of trust is how we build our perception. So the more we expand our perception, the more we can see, right? If you're like looking at a bunch of facts and you have to make a decision based on these facts, and that's not really enough, then what do? But if you could expand your perception and look at more than just the facts, but from a more multidimensional way, and you can receive more information, maybe they're not facts, maybe it's not science, maybe it's not data, but it's just information and it could be energetic, then you have more to work with. And so now we're working with the energetics of trust, feeling the intuitive aspect of other, of group, of narrative, of self.
You're listening to Catalyst Talks, conversations with change agents, outliers, superheroes, and truly conscious leaders modeling what it is to be an unstoppable force for good and truth in this world. What lit these catalysts on fire to do their work, and what nuggets of wisdom can they share with a world literally on fire? I'm your host, Stephanie Traeger. I'm a transformational catalyst and life coach to maverick change agents in business, leadership, and life. On this podcast, I wear an eclectic mix of hats, including earthkeeper, wayfinder, truth teller, coach, lawyer, business, and impact strategist. My intention is holding space for higher purpose, peak wellness, soul mastery, and deeper impact so we can live in harmony with ourselves, each other, and nature. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. If you love it, please share and spread the word. We're on YouTube and all the podcast platforms. See the show notes on catalysttalks.com for links, and enjoy this episode.
Welcome back to Catalyst Talks. Today is an episode that is about trust, influence, love. It's about really listening to that inner voice, that inner voice. And I'm going to share with you a cool process that I work with almost anything I'm working with, whether it's trust, whether it's influence, whether it's communication, whether I'm working one-on-one with a client, whether I'm speaking to many people, working with in a family dynamic, a friend dynamic, a relationship dynamic. What is really at the heart of trust? You know, that self-trust is really at the heart of all trust. Though, what do I mean by self-trust, and how do we get to that place of building trust in others and also really listening and trusting ourselves to know what to trust out there? And this really comes down to discernment. So at the heart of trust, this is a solo cast. Feel super inspired about sharing this as I am writing a book. I've been deep in the process of a lot of narratives for myself to parse out and really figure out, discern what I trust and what is my truth, you know, in this meaning-making process of iterating my meaning-making process of what is my truth. And that really brings up this question about trust. I'm going to say that again because it was really potent. I am in an iterating process of meaning making, of re-establishing a connection with my meaning making process about what I trust. So as we expand, as we awaken, as we expand our aperture of perception about reality, about everything around us, about who we are, how we be in relation to other, how we be in relationship to groups that we once were in relationship to, how we be in relationship to the collective humanity, large narratives, small narratives, and really understanding that it is an iterative process because there's these truth wars going on, these reality wars going on. And whatever you think your truth is, are you willing to expand? Are you willing to just hold open a place that, you know, maybe your truth is different. Maybe you can have a different meaning-making process. And why I'm building this around trust is because one of the reasons why individuals, groups, and the collective stay stuck in old narratives, stay stuck in old stories based on belief systems and worldviews and paradigms. Paradigms is a set of beliefs and mindsets around which a group of or society live. And we cling to these paradigms because they're safe. They're safe. And so we could trust everything in that paradigm because it's this biofeedback, it's this feedback loop of information, of trust, of truth, of narratives. And then we know what to trust. We don't have to worry about trusting something new because we know what to trust if we just know that it's in the paradigm of what we should believe or what we used to believe. So I'm going to break this down in a way that is going to make sense for sure. And why I feel like I'm doing a whole podcast episode on this is because I'm going through my own process, my own meaning-making process, and I'm realizing how open I have been and am to, hey, challenge my beliefs on something. I am so willing to believe something different if you can challenge my belief on it. Where I come to know if something is true for me is a deep trust I have with myself and the facts or evidence that I'm looking at. And what we know about our world today is there are a lot of facts out there. There's a lot of information, what is being called misinformation, what is being censored, disinformation, malinformation, all of the new things out there that are kind of distorting reality and making it harder to know what is true for ourselves. And so it's easy to fall into a mainstream narrative of belief. And this episode is not only about like narratives and larger, you know, narratives of belief in the mainstream. This is also around ourself, self-love. And this is really the foundation of the inner work of impact. If you've heard me talk about it, I have an episode on the inner work of impact, which we'll put in the show notes because it's all appropriate here. In order to really expand our own perception of reality, and then expanding it allows for more possibilities to be true. Expanding our ability to, you know, our aperture of perception, the aperture, like a window of perception, so that we can see more, take in more information, and discern what is true for us. It requires a deep level of trust. There's a few lenses of trust that we can look at. I'm going to share four lenses of trust. And I use these lenses with love, with communication, with influence. These are also four lenses of influence. And trust and influence go hand in hand. So the way I see these four lenses and the way I use these four lenses with the inner work of impact, it's really the inner work so that we can have the outer impact. The more inner work we do, the more we expand our aperture perception, the more we're awake to more possibilities, the more inner work, the more willing we are to challenge our beliefs and assumptions about reality in ourselves and our stories. And when we challenge those assumptions and beliefs about ourselves and our stories, we can open up and see a different possibility and tell a different story about ourselves and our lives, our potential, our power, our whatever it is, our gifts, our relationships. When we do that, it takes trusting ourselves. It takes really that discernment, and discernment requires trust. I have a lot of clients who I've worked with over the years on intuition and on this discernment piece. And it always comes down to, what is discernment? It's really, it's that feeling, it's that gnosis, that inner knowing, just because you know. Yep, you can have facts, you can have evidence. You know, in my former life, I was a lawyer. I could build a really good case and a really kick-ass argument. There's a process to that. IRAC, issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. I can make an argument. And sometimes you don't need an argument. All you need to do is know that feeling you have in your gut. And that is something that you trust. You act on it based on trusting yourself. Then if you're in a relationship with another person, then you can act on basing trusting another. If you're in a group, you can act on the trust of the group. If you're in a collective or making a decision about your beliefs, about a narrative, or what do you believe, or who do you vote for? What do you believe on an issue that seems to be a collective narrative? It's the same thing. It's that self-trust. So we want to master trust in ourselves, building trust in others. It's trusting ourselves. That's the lens one. The next lens is trusting another. So how are we in our one-on-one relationships, our interpersonal relationships, building trust with others so that they trust us and knowing when we should trust them? I'm going to go into each one of these in a moment. So there's trusting ourselves, trusting the other. There's trusting a group. Well, whether you trust the group or you're building trust so that the group trusts you. The fourth lens is trusting the collective, or sort of more of a mainstream. So this again would be like trusting the narratives or media, messaging, stories, more of a mainstream collective viewpoint or reality. This is where politics comes in. And like, how do we make decisions about the information we receive from the collective? What is it based on? What is it that you trust so that you know what your compass for that truth is, to find your truth? And that is where we make our meaning from. And then again, if you are a public figure, if you are a leader, how do you gain the trust of a collective? And that is really important, whether you're a leader of the collective or many, or you're a thought leader and you're putting your information out there, or whether it's just you and the energetics of the collective, which is always available and always happening. What energy, frequency, and thoughts are you putting into that collective field to establish the energetics of trust? So that's the foundation here, those four lenses: trusting self, trusting the other, the interpersonal relationships, trust from a group or trusting the group, and then trusting in that collective humanity sense, a more of a larger narrative sense. So why am I bringing this topic of trust again to the fore? It's really mostly for me right now focused on number four in the collective sense, the trust of the narrative. Because as I'm writing this book and I'm doing a lot of research right now, it's more than what I thought it was going to be, because I'm going down all these holes. I'm like, whoa. And what's happening is my perception is expanding based on more inputs and information that is challenging my old worldview. It's challenging how I used to see things. And I've had a lot of that. We've all had a lot of that over the last many years, right? And then we learn about who we are based on our ability to expand our perception, to be willing to be challenged. And if we're not willing to be challenged, then why? So there's so much medicine. You know, I call the opportunities for growth medicine here. One of my spiritual teachers called it the AFGO, which is another fucking growth opportunity. Every single time we're faced with an opportunity to decide or like expand our beliefs, challenge our worldview, challenge our perception, our bias about something, it's an opportunity for growth. Because if we're unwilling to stretch without a logical reason, we might think that logical reason is very linear, evidence-based, fact-based. If we're pulling those facts from the pocket of our worldview, then we're limited. So how far are we willing to receive information, to feel into it, and to trust ourselves and say yes or no? Not based on science, not based, yes, you can bring in the science after, but literally just feeling, building that muscle of trust within ourselves first, so that we can discern from the collective narrative, so we can discern from the group and from those interpersonal relationships. So again, it's always this question of what's the overlay? Is it my bias? Is it my willingness or resistance to expand my worldview, to trust myself to be able to discern what's true here? So these are overlays that are always available to us. And I'm bringing this up because as I'm dissecting my own truth and my own worldview, I'm receiving new things and I get to say, well, that feels true. Whoa, that feels probable. That feels possible. And I get to sit with that. And if I have any resistance, I get to say, well, why? Where's the bias? Where's the story? That it doesn't necessarily mean that I have to accept that thing as true. It's the process I work with around mastering my own self-trust and mastering that intuitive muscle. Because when you are an intuitive, and that's the way of the future, that is the new earth leadership. It is intuition. It is trusting intuition and working in a multidimensional capacity, which is intuition, which is not all linear. It's not all factual, evidence-based, and it's not all in front of us in a linear way in the IRAC method, issue, rule, analysis, conclusion. It can just be, I know because I know, and I trust that. That self-trust is the foundation. Let's just go into this self-trust piece, that first lens first. If I feel dissonance, if I don't feel like I trust somebody else, another individual, that's that second lens, the interpersonal. I get the opportunity to first say, is this a story of mine? Is this my own pattern? Is how I'm reacting to the situation an old pattern of mine? And if it is, what is the medicine? What's the opportunity for growth here? And if it's not, and I get to really work through that and be honest with myself, then I get to the core of self-trust. And it's like, yeah, I'm feeling this. You know, I'm really feeling there is a reason why I ought to listen to the sense I'm getting, not to trust. If it's a pattern of like running in the other direction or shutting down or whatever it is, then I get the opportunity to look at that too. So everything is that opportunity. As we're working with trust, it's such a great portal for growth. And I use this interchangeably with influence. If I'm teaching on influence, it's the same thing. It's like, how am I influencing myself? How am I influencing other? How am I influencing group? How am I influencing the collective? And this is, or being influenced by. And again, it's sort of interchangeable with trust. And these are lenses. These four lenses are lenses how I coach and facilitate the inner work of impact. Again, I was talking about this before because it really is true. It's like that outer impact we want to have. It's inner first. Building trust with other. How much do I trust myself? Navigating our own journey with trust with other or group or collective, or like, what's my meaning making capacity right now around all of the information that's floating around? Am I just listening to a certain narrative, or can I trust myself to know because I know? This is around sovereignty and choosing to have sovereignty over our mind, because that is trust. And then when I say sovereignty over our mind, it's also sovereignty from our old stories, that our old unconscious patterns that are saying, don't trust this person, or because you might have a pattern of not trusting, or an old pattern that has you trust someone else over yourself. You know, how many times have you trusted someone else over yourself and then kicked yourself? Like, I knew I had this feeling and I didn't listen to myself. How many times have you heard yourself say that? I didn't listen to myself. That comes down to trusting ourselves, right? And how do we really build and master that self-trust? It's first really, really building that sovereign muscle of I know because I know, period. And that's good enough until, you know, and then you can corroborate your truth with whatever facts you want, because believe me, there's evidence to prove any reality or any story we want to tell about our lives, ourselves, or the collective, or our future. There really is. You know, when I say, who do you trust? You know, who do you trust and why? I really think about trust as energy. You know, trust is, has energetics. It is a really understanding the energetics of trust is how we build our perception. So the more we expand our perception, the more we can see, right? If you're like looking at a bunch of facts, and you have to make a decision based on these facts, and that's not really enough, then what do? But if you could expand your perception and look at more than just the facts, but from a more multidimensional way, and you can receive more information, maybe they're not facts, maybe it's not science, maybe it's not data, but it's just information, and it could be energetic, then you have more to work with. And so now we're working with the energetics of trust, feeling the intuitive aspect of other, of group, of narrative, of self, right? So when we're doing all of this inner work, we need to be more vulnerable with ourselves. And the more vulnerable we can be with ourselves, the more we can trust ourselves. So doesn't that work with others? Like the more vulnerable I can be with another person, the more I can trust them, or they can be with me, the more I can trust them. Maybe, again, it requires a lot of discernment. Here's an example of this. Writing right now, I'm in this window where I've created a lot of space for myself this summer to really blocked off time to write and research and sort out this book that I'm writing. And one of the things that has come up is an interesting amount of what one might consider procrastination, one might consider block. And that's a story, that's one narrative. And I really was feeling that way about myself. And so I was going into this judgment and I was beating myself up like, I should be writing right now. Why am I not writing? Oh my God, this is the time I set myself up for this. And I am like, no, I'm actually researching because I'm doing a lot of studying and watching of shows and people and reading and I'm researching. This is my research time. And I could tell you that I'm making that up to deny the fact that I'm procrastinating. I can make a whole story about why I'm procrastinating. And then I have this real truth and I trust myself. I trust myself. And this is why I'm creating this episode as well, the self-trust. As I expand my aperture of perception and take in more realities that I'm like, whoa, okay, I have a different worldview now. And what am I writing about? What am I saying? And who do I trust? Is this true for me? And I could feel that feeling of trust in my gut around what narrative I believe is true. And then that on that self-trust level, it's really this inner guidance. My inner guidance, my spiritual guidance has been showing me like I am in a pivot. I am becoming a new person. I am expanding into a new version of myself, a new voice, a new way that I'm putting forth my work in the world. And this is what this book is about as well. And it's happening. It's emerging. It's unfolding. This is what I tell my clients all the time when they're beating themselves up. And I offer this perception. And I'm saying, how can I take a dose of this medicine? And it's true. I am emerging and it's coming in. And so it's that trust of, okay, a little bit of this, a little bit more expansion, and maybe I should take some action today, you know? So it's trusting myself. I'm not making this up as a distorted reality. You know, I'm not just bypassing the truth that I might be procrastinating. No, this for me is very true. And so it's also like trusting when it's borderline procrastination or some distorted reality I'm making up to justify versus trusting myself to know, no, I need this expansion time to actually receive and reorganize my, basically the story that I'm telling about my own life and in this book. So trusting myself, right? That is so important. Trusting yourself, that lens one. And lens one applies to all the others because you have to trust yourself to know, do I trust this other person or how do I establish credibility and trust with one of this other person? You know, you have to trust yourself in order to establish that trust in a group. And also you have to trust yourself to know whether or not you ought to trust a group, and the same with the collective. So how is it playing out? You know, one of the best ways I love to work with this energy of trust is also with the Four Agreements. You know, if you're familiar with Don Miguel Ruiz and his book, The Four Agreements, based on Toltec ancient civilization, these are the most universal four truths ever. They're such a great compass and guidepost. I use these all the time. I work with them every single day. And I share these with all my clients as well. And the Four Agreements are: don't make assumptions, to always do your best, be impeccable with your word. And word also includes energy, communication, relating. Have I been impeccable in this scenario, in this communication? Impeccable with your word is also around being impeccable with omission. Is my omission to speak impeccability or respond? Is that impeccable? To be impeccable with my word, is it best that I do omit to say anything or write anything? And then the last one is to not take anything personally. The fourth agreement, not take anything personally. This is a big one for trusting other. How do you do that dance of not taking it personally if someone offends you? What's the inner medicine you need to receive about that, what you've just received? And where does trust come in? You know, do you trust yourself? This is a really deep portal for building that self-trust, is around your relationship with how often and how much and how deeply you take things personally. I always add a fifth agreement. I do this all the time. And it really overlaps again with all of the other agreements. And that is to take personal responsibility for everything you're experiencing. It doesn't mean you're at fault for everything. It doesn't mean you caused everything. It's not that linear. Taking personal responsibility for everything you're experiencing, including the opportunity to gain trust, lose trust, win trust, and also self-trust, you know, build trust. It's a lot of trust. But taking personal responsibility for your life as, where am I a vibrational match to this? If you create scenarios all the time, and this goes again back to those patterns where you're in untrusting relationships or there's betrayal or you just don't trust another, or you have a pattern of reacting out of, you lost trust in somebody, so you have a pattern of reacting. Like, again, this is where when we take personal responsibility, and I said this earlier on, it's how willing are we to look at, where's my pattern here? You know, if a whole group of people, you're pegged as the culprit in something and you've lost trust in others, a group, for example, what's the medicine for you there? Can you take responsibility? If someone set you up, this is an example, if someone sets you up and you're really not responsible, how do you take personal responsibility for that? I used to experience this a lot. I had these patterns where women did not trust me. Like, and there were stories that I was having affairs with their husbands. Not one of them ever true, ever, never, period, exclamation point. And I had these experiences when I was doing martial arts, capoeira, for like many, many years. I was very close with my teachers, mestres, masters, men. And I found myself in, and I would always put myself in really rigorous scenarios with a lot of the guys. And so there were stories made up about me, and I lost trust in others, and it was not true. And it was like, how do I gain this back? And it was a point where I had to say, how am I responsible for this? Like, where's my energy that's actually creating this? How is this serving me? And I know that's hard to stomach, right? but I'm not always saying these things on the podcast and to my clients. I'm actually working with them myself. This is not the easy medicine. This is the stuff that it requires vulnerability. It requires that deep inner reflection and self-awareness of our patterns. And now I just want to go into that idea of the lens, the third lens, one to many, trusting a group. You building trust or gaining trust from a group, or you trusting a group. Let's say you walk into an organization and there's a leadership team. You know, do you trust that group of people who are sort of top down sending information, whether it's top down or not? How do you act with trust in groups? Do you easily just trust everybody, or do you trust what everyone else is doing? Do you listen to your gut when you don't trust? Do you speak up? Everything in these scenarios is energy. You know, it's energy first. Even if there's facts, again, you don't know if facts are true. Facts are spun very easily in this world, in this time that we live. And so it really requires trusting your gut to know whether or not you want to believe these facts or not. This is where leadership for the new world, the new earth that we're creating comes in, this awakened society. These are evolution of consciousness that's happening right now. We are evolving very rapidly. And this is the work that I'm here for. I'm showing up. I'm here for the work of how do we be leaders of this new world? We're not building in despair and fear in order for people to take the actions we want them to take. It's insidious, actually. This is where a bit of my opinion is going to come in. And whether you trust this or not to be true for yourself, fine, take it or leave it. But I'm going to drop this in here because I know there's a lot of despair unfolding in a larger collective narrative and among many groups. And so this is where a lot of my beliefs and assumptions have been challenged over the last 5-10 years. When you are opening up any news or LinkedIn or whatever, and all it is despair. And you're somebody who's in the impact world. You're somebody who's an environmental, you know, steward. You're an earth keeper. You are a human rights advocate. You're on the team. You're the good side, right? Yet, and you're falling into the narrative where there's virtue signaling left and right, greenwashing, up the wazoo, impact washing, SDG washing, sustainable development goals, for those who don't know. It's overwhelming right now how easy it is to say, yeah, but the IPCC report said, and the data says, and the facts are, and blah, blah, blah. How do we trust ourselves to know when it's time to shut that down and say, yes, and despair and fear are not the solution. This is why I'm inviting everyone here to consider joining me for, well, we only have a few spots left. So really deeply consider joining us for the Columbia Kogi experience. If you're listening to this before December 13th to the 21st, we're going to be there for solstice on purpose and have you back for the holidays. So please consider coming with us if you are interested in experiencing a complete expansion of your aperture of perception. We talked about this in the last episode with Daniel Cooperman as well. The Kogi have a beautiful perception around our thoughts. It's just so important to purify our thoughts and how we talk about the future, how we talk about regeneration of nature, of cleaning things up, that it is not through despair and fear, because that is building more of the same. It's extracting the good will, shall we say. It's an extractive energy. Despair and fear are an extractive energy, because once you have people in fear and despair, you can manipulate them. And so it is very, very extractive. And we really want to be mindful of anything that's extractive. So I'm saying this because, not to go too far into any of the issues per se, it's that true leadership of this new earth is around ethics. It's around natural law, beyond man-made law, natural law. It's around energy and reading the energy of people, places, truth, facts, situations, the cosmic realm that we are in. How small are we falling into a story or narrative? So the smaller we go, the smaller our aperture of perception, the story can only have so many facts that are true. The larger we expand, we're looking at the last 100,000 years, not the last 2,000 years or the last 100 years. So it changes how we perceive reality, and it changes how we solve the challenges of today so that we can step into our highest future potential, which is not unidimensional. It's not this one-dimensional, here's the facts, here's the story, this is it, despair. I'd be despaired too. And I've been there. 30 years ago, I was acting as an activist and a hardcore activist out of despair. And it's a very potent energy, and we want to be very mindful of that. So trust in the new earth, trust leadership is multidimensional. Are we speaking beyond linear realms, awakening people to their capacity to expand their possibility and empower the co-creative, co-creations of our future together versus this fear, unidimensional, this is the narrative, here are the facts, this is the truth. That is, and why am I talking about that in the realm of trust? There is this trust in a reality and in a story right now that is so impermeable, yet there's a lot of cracks in the argument, let's just say. That's what my book is all about. It's about cracking the argument. And how do we do that in a way that builds trust and that we can trust ourselves to know what point of view is ours? Like, what point of view do we really resonate with most, and why? Again, that why. What's the come from of my trust? Do I trust because if I don't trust that to be the truth, or if I don't trust these people, if I don't trust this relationship, everything's going to crumble. My whole reality, all my truth. Can I handle that much change right now? That's why our collective is still so glued to so many things that we don't trust, but we still go through with it. We still follow the story and the impact and the narratives, because if we don't, then everything falls apart. Our profession might fall apart. Our relationships might fall apart. Everything might fall, including the foundation of who we think we are, might fall apart. Then what? My role might fall apart. It's scary. It requires courage to trust ourselves completely. And cognitive dissonance is the byproduct of when we don't trust ourselves. It's like we know, but we don't want to know. So we pretend we don't know. Actually, their cognitive dissonance can be so powerful where basically we know something is true or we know something is bad for us, but we do it anyway. And this is a term that was coined by Leon Festinger in the 70s, a psychologist, but it really is something that has been worked with by medicine people for thousands of years, shamans, healers, the ancient wisdom keepers, because it's alignment, it's congruence, it's coherence, it's frequency. When you're acting, when you're living in a place of cognitive dissonance, there's a frequency to it. Cognitive dissonance has a frequency. That's a whole other episode, and that's a whole chapter in my book, literally. So I'll save it. But I'm going to just jump into this fourth lens again, the collective. And I mean, this is really what I'm talking about. This is the dogma of the narratives that are usually funded by some industrial fill in the blank complex, like industrial health complex or education, finance, media, military. These industrial complexes, my friend Susan, I don't know if she coined this, but she speaks of the industrial experimental complex. There's a lot of buy-in. And why? Most people, many people, and there are polls, you know, don't trust these systems, yet they walk in line in the system. Why? If they don't trust them, do they trust themselves? Oh, I should trust, but I don't. Do they really not trust? So what do you do if you don't trust, but you still act a certain way? And we now have things like alternative research, alternative archaeology, alternative science, alternative physics. How? I mean, isn't there just one? Like, what is it alternative from? Which one is right? Which one is true? How do you trust? How do you know what to make meaning of in this world today where there's so much complexity? There's new options, right? So what are we to do with all of this about trust? At the heart of trust right now, at the heart of this conversation, what I want to ask you to take away, if this resonates, is knowing the come from of trust. Whether you trust yourself, whether it's about trusting another, one other, whether it's about trusting a group, or that fourth lens, trusting in the collective narrative sense. Knowing because you know is okay. And if you can trust the come from of that, it's I just know because I know. That's okay. The come from, when I say the come from, it's being willing to just check out what patterns might linger around the come from. I know because I know. Does that help you make the case for your subconscious mind that wants to protect you so it keeps you in a pattern of not trusting or of trusting the wrong thing or whatever, the opposite of what you believe? So know because you know is okay. That's the future. Knowing because we know. There's a place for science. There's a place for evidence. There's a place for facts. There's a place for math in all of this. Yes, 100%. And there's a place for knowing because you know. And in the future, a coherent society, coherent humans, there is perfect alignment with the facts, the research, and the science, and the stuff that we know because we know. That is the future. So that come from, does this narrative serve an old story? Does it serve keeping me comfortable? Does it serve a paradigm that I'm not really looking to switch up right now? Or does it really serve me? This come from this place of trust in your gut, in your heart, in your wherever that comes from, that in your third eye, wherever it lives for you. It could be even out in left field from your, you know, from your left temple, wherever trust lives for you. Just know that, find that coordinate, master that inner self-trust, that inner gnosis, that discernment, be honest with that come from, work with the four agreements, and really practice looking at the world through these four lenses of trust, trusting yourself, trusting how is trust showing up in your one-on-one relationships? How does it show up with your groups that you're part of? You trusting them, them trusting you? And how is this in your perception of the collective or in how you gain trust if you're a thought leader or a leader from the larger collective? I am excited to hear how this lands for any of you. And if it's something that you want to take deeper with me, you can reach out and you can find me at stephanietraeger.com. I am happy to talk about facilitating this with larger groups, as well as in one-on-one advising, coaching, and guidance. So that is available. And I am really, really inviting you to check out on the same website. You can find StephanieTraeger/quests, and you'll see the Kogiland Columbia quest. We'll also put these links in the show notes. And I invite you to join us in December of 2023, this year. That's the 13th to the 21st of December. We're going to go to Columbia. We're going to have a gorgeous retreat, an expedition, a quest into ourselves, coming home to ourselves, finding that truth within ourselves, you know, that building that self-trust, working with a group in one-on-one dynamics, in that group dynamic, as well as challenging our assumptions and beliefs about the larger reality. And that is that fourth lens. And we get to work with the Kogi people in a beautiful ancient civilization. They escaped colonization. They really have a deeply ancient hold on wisdom, and we get to really learn from them. We get to experience this through joining them on a very sacred pilgrimage to their sacred places. You know, they have this whole awareness of what the earth is around, how these sacred points in their pilgrimage, these different spots will go to have these sacred, it's basically a sacred black line that surrounds their territory. There's a meaning of this and how it connects to other lines and other meridians on the earth. And understanding the chakras of the earth and different ways that, whoa, it'll challenge our whole perception of reality and of ourselves. And this is where we get to really connect with a deep level of authenticity and trust. So if this lands for you, check out stephanietraeger.com/quests. Again, links are in the show notes. And if you have any questions about this and want to reach out for some more information or just to feel if it's a fit, do not hesitate to connect with me through my website. I really look forward to hearing how this lands for you. And what are some of your takeaways? So a little masterclass for you through the podcast today. I have some awesome guests coming up, so stay tuned. Please take a moment, subscribe to the channel on YouTube. It helps us so much to have our numbers increase, because then when I reach out to people who I really would love to bring to you in conversation, a lot of people are looking at numbers right now. So I get to have those conversations with folks because they're saying, how many downloads do you have of your podcast? How many people are following you on YouTube? So it really helps when you share the show, when you like the show, when you subscribe to the show. It's a tremendous help. So if you've gotten anything out of this, please do that favor of just giving us a tick, a like, a subscribe, and a share. And I love you. Thank you for your time. Your attention means the world to me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Catalyst Talks. Stay tuned for what's up next, and please subscribe to our podcast and rate us wherever you listen. You'll find these all at catalysttalks.com. Join the conversation on social media. And if you'd like to reach out, please send me, Stephanie, a private message through stephanietraeger.com. Your attention means the world to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.